This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Woo, I love that. Psalm 118 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever." Man, I'm thankful for his mercies enduring forever. Other parts of the Bible say his mercies are fresh and new every day. And I'm thankful for that. Hopefully we lead a life that is good and obedient. But when not, we are thankful for his daily mercies that he gives us and shows us in his grace and mercy. Turn in your Bibles to Job. And we're going to be in Job today. And the message today is why Job gave thanks. He had a lot going on. While you're turning to the book of Job, you might enjoy those beautiful flowers up on the front table. I don't know what happened there, but, well, I guess we'll find out soon enough. So Job chapter 1. Job has a lot of things going on. We're preparing to celebrate Thanksgiving this week as a church body, as humans. We're, you know, many of us are gathering together with family, and we're hopefully taking time not just to eat, but to give thanks for what we have. And Job, again, certainly had opportunity to give thanks for what he had. And in chapter 1, it said, in verse 2, it said, "And Job had 7 sons, 3 daughters who were born to him, and his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household." He was a man that was one of the greatest among all the people of the East. So he had a lot to give thanks for. He had a large family. He had a lot of possessions. One of the greatest in the land of that area. Man, that's a lot to take care of, and a very large household to take care of those things for him. Lots to be thankful for, right? I don't know if I can keep my focus off that flower vase up front there. I'm sorry. Maybe if I could raise this thing up. Someone's got a story after church to tell me what happened to those, please, okay? When life is good, we tend to be thankful, right? Let me ask again. When life is good, we tend to be thankful, right? Okay, that's good. I like that. Job is giving thanks. It says he's a good man. He's upright and blameless, one who feared God and shunned evil. In verse 1, it says that. And I thought, that's good stuff. I like it. Then it goes on and it says in verse 13 of chapter 1, "Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job, and he said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. Then the Sabians raided them, and they took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Now a part of his empire is starting to disappear. And it says, "While he was still speaking, yet another came, and he said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Now, could you imagine if God had consumed all of us and one of us were able to escape and tell the owner of the property? All this happened to them, but man, I escaped. And it says, "While he was still speaking, yet another came, and another came, and another came." And they were just 3 different brands. They raided the camels. They took the camels. They killed the servants. "I alone have escaped. Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking with their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners. And it fell on them. And it killed them all. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Now, in a matter of minutes, while Job is taking all of this in, listen to what he says in verse 20. It says, "And Job arose, and he tore his robe, and he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong." Now, I think hopefully we give God thanks when life is good, as I said. But when things go wrong, is it always God's fault? Well, that's a loaded question right there. In chapter 2 of Job, verse 10. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 7. And I'm skipping the part where Satan came in and said, "Hey, you've got a good guy there. Let me see if I can pull him away from you, God." God said, "Okay, just don't kill him. You can do anything, but don't kill him." And it says in verse 6, actually, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a piece of pottery. Job sat in a pile of ashes, boils from head to toe, so painful. He sat in a pile of ashes, took a broken piece of pottery, and started scratching the boils to give himself some relief. And his wife in verse 9, apparently speaking straight from the flesh, said, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." This is a woman that also got to reap the benefits of the large household and the family and the possessions. And then when things happened, she questioned her husband's integrity and faithfulness to God. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Just be done with it, Job. Job being a wise man, it says throughout the scriptures that Job was very wise. One of the wisest in the land. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" We can't take just the good and forget the adversity and say it's not from God. But in all this, it says Job did not sin with his lips. His wife speaks from the flesh. Man, is your integrity that important still? After all this? And he speaks and said, if we've accepted good from God, do we not accept the bad? Satan's doing quite a work on Job. Now, over the next 40-some chapters of Job, there's a lot going on. He has some friends come down. He's upset. He curses the day he was born. His friends come down and they have conversation. Actually, his friends come down. Job is having conversation. And then it says, they stayed with him for 7 days and seven nights. Job chapter 2, verse 13. They sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him. Church, 7 days and seven nights. No one spoke a word to him. Why not? For they saw that his grief was great. We've talked in the past about the be with factor. What does that mean? That means just be with them. We don't always have words of comfort. We don't always have words of wisdom. As a matter of fact, we probably rarely do. But our presence is invaluable at times. Their presence to Job was invaluable to him as a friend. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Then began a very long process of Job and his friends and his family going back and forth. And he's questioning God. Job is struggling. He cries out to God. And he asks God a lot of questions. He didn't sin, but he asked God a lot of questions. Now listen up. The one thing he didn't do was reject God. Oftentimes, again, when things are great and we have roses on the flowers, that's great. But when we look at them and think, oh no, what's happened to our beautiful floral arrangement? We want to discard that. We want to turn our back on it. We want to walk away from what God is putting us through. He says that's all part of it. He cries out to God. He questions God. He talks to God, but he doesn't reject him. He doesn't walk away. Now listen carefully, church. Job used his pain to push further into the presence of God. There's somebody here today that needs to hear that. Job used his pain and pushed through that and past it to get further into the presence of God. It's a hard thing to do. We can say it, just push through the pain. Yeah, that's why we're all at the gym, right? Pushing through the pain. Sit-ups, yeah. No. It's easy to say it in principle. We know it'll make your body better. Uh-huh. Hard to do in practice. But Job knew the importance of that. He knew that we've got to push through this. I've got to get through this. But I'm not doing it without a conversation with God. I'm going to talk to Him. I'm going to question Him. The next 30 plus chapters, almost 40 chapters, Job is having these conversations with his friends about God and about his faith and his relationship with God. Now let's flip all the way back in Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And God finally speaks to Job. Finally responds to Job. And I love it in verse 2 of Job chapter 38. It said, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" Can anybody relate to that? Uh-oh, we've questioned God with a whole bunch of questions. And he says, they used words without any knowledge about what they're asking. We've done that. Certainly, I'm not the only one that's spoken out and said, "God, why?" He said, "Oh, good grief. Why are you questioning me? Why do you question me? Why do we get to this?" But I love what he says in verse 3. He says, "Now prepare yourself like a man." Last time I heard that, I think it was in a movie, and they were getting ready to throw down and have a fight. God says, "Prepare yourself like a man." He says, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to question you, and you shall answer me." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in Job's spot. I don't want to have 30-some, almost 40 chapters of dialogue with God and have God finally speak up and say, "Who are you to challenge me? You use words with no knowledge? Get ready. Prepare yourself like a man, Adam. Stand up there, because now I'm going to question you, Adam, and you're going to answer to me." I don't want that. Well, God proceeds to throw out a line of stuff and ask him several questions. "Hey, by the way, Job, when I planned the earth, where were you?" "Job, you're so wise, one of the wisest in the land. Where were you? When I was planning the earth, where did you stand? Where were you in part of that? Do you know who took its dimensions? Do you know who measured the earth, Job? What the pillars were built on? Who laid its cornerstone? While morning stars burst out singing and the angels shouted for joy. Tell me, Job, where were you?" Job was wise indeed. But what he couldn't see was what was hidden from him. He said, God's removed all my limitations now, and I'm standing in the presence of the Lord. And now he has understanding as to the wisdom of life. And he sees the magnitude of this. God gave him insight into God's magnificent and glorious creation, the earth, that he made and created without Job's insight and help. Because Job sure was questioning God. He didn't turn his back on him, but he questioned him. The Bible says, lean not on your own what? Understanding. If we can endure our suffering and not give up on God, is it possible we too could press further into the presence of God? God, I know you're taking me through some things. But could I press past my understanding of why you allowed this or did this or brought this on or opened the door for it? Remember, God says, hey, I can open the door that nobody can close, and I can close the door that nobody can open. I'm what? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning. I am the end. Do you think it's possible that I have a plan for you to endure? Maybe to get to know me? Maybe to lean on me a little more? Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, because I'm going to question you and you shall answer me. And there's this back and forth with God and Job. His friends, the conversations they've had. You guys have probably been through it as well. When you go through things, if your God is that good, and your God is that big, and your God is that great, and He's all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere, how and why? So you're telling me if I can't answer that, that He doesn't exist? And these people question God with Job. Job says, I know He's here. But when we press into His presence further by what we're going through, where we truly know that God is good, God is good when, oh, there they are. You see, when the roses come up, God is good all the time. Oh, they even still smell good. It's a beautiful, beautiful flower. It's easy to do that, church. But when we've got that, thank you, God, for the rose bush, I guess. Can we praise Him then? Can we give thanks then? Where we truly know that He is good. And that He always, always, no matter what we are going through, He always cares for us and loves us. Now turn over to Job chapter 42. Chapters of dialogue between Job and his friends, and Job and God, and God and Job, and God and Job's friends. In chapter 42, whoo, we get to the end. We find out in the first chapter he's had everything and he lost everything. But in chapter 2, Job comes back, talks to God. And it's interesting, God went to his friends and revealed this to Job. He said, hey, friends, you didn't speak so highly of me. Matter of fact, I think you were just downright wrong about me. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to take this sacrifice. You're going to take it to Job. And because he remained faithful and steadfast and upright, he's going to pray for you and he'll restore you guys and himself. Uh-oh, we better do that. So they went to Job and Job prayed. Job chapter 42 said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Verse 3, you ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. And I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And when Job's friends brought the sacrifice, he prayed. And it said the Lord restored him. And it says in Job 42, verse 11, it says, then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before, they came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. Notes say 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. And the Lord blessed his latter days even more than his beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. God had restored him. Now, am I saying God's going to restore you double of everything you had? No, not necessarily. I'm not saying it isn't going to happen. I'm saying that's an example of why Job gave thanks, because he knew that God was still there. My notes are pretty simple. Why Job gave thanks? Because it was right to do. Wow. Why do we give thanks in the midst of our trials? Because it is right to do. It is the right thing to do to give thanks. There's no roses on the tips of those. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. Why Job gave thanks? Because it was right to do. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And yes, it was a bit of a long time that Job had to go through. 140 years. But it says he saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. We just sang the song, The Blessing, about generations and generations and generations. It was easy for Job to praise God in the very beginning for all that he had. But as he got that one report after another, hey, you're starting to lose your stuff. You're losing your possessions. You're losing what you had out there in the field. Job, I'm sorry. Now you're starting to lose your family. Job, I regret to inform you, you've lost everything. It wasn't easy. Oh, by the way, Job, now you have boils from head to toe. But there's some broken pottery over there. You can scratch your poor little foot and relieve the pain. Oh, by the way, I've sent you a life mate your wife. Hey, don't you think you should curse God and die now, Job? You still want to hang on to that integrity? He gave thanks. He knew it was the right thing to do. He spent 7 days in silence. He talked to God and he called out to him. But as Christians, as ambassadors, as Christ followers, examples, witnesses, disciples, whatever we want to call ourselves, as the aroma or fragrance of Christ, can we praise Him and give thanks in the midst of that? Or do we only have it to offer up when this is present? God, I don't think the crop's going to be good this year. I'm not going to sell many roses. Hey, I need you to press in and give still. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Turn there real quick with me. I was just going to read it, but I want you to see it for yourself. Job chapter 13, verse 15. And I love this verse. I've used it before as my family had gone through some things. And it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When God deals you a hand and slays you, Job chapter 13, verse 15, will you still trust Him? I'm going to read a story here. Hang in there with me. It has to do with these flowers up front, these beautiful flowers. Sandra opened the door of her florist shop in November. She was at the lowest point she had ever been in her life. Things had been going so good. She lived a blessed life with her husband and their child. She was pregnant for the second time, and 4 months into the pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her joy, and she lost her baby. This week, Thanksgiving week, was time for her to deliver her infant son, would have been, and she grieved over her loss. And it felt even worse as troubles in her life multiplied. Her husband was having problems at work and was being threatened that if he didn't take a lower paying position, he would be transferred somewhere else. Her sister called to say that she would not be able to make it for Thanksgiving. And to make things worse, her best friend said Sandra's grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. Sandra thought to herself, she has no idea how I'm feeling. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what? She wondered. For the careless driver whose vehicle was barely dented that rear-ended my car? For an airbag that saved my life but took the life of my child? The florist greeted her and Sandra announced that she needed a Thanksgiving arrangement. The florist said, do you want the beautiful but ordinary? Or would you like to challenge the day with a favorite I call the Thanksgiving special? Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? She said, not exactly. You see, in the last 5 months, all these things have happened, and she let loose everything that had taken place. Hang on. I have the perfect arrangement for you. The bell rang on the door as another customer came in. She said, hi, Barbara, let me grab your order. She excused herself, walked to the back of the small workroom, then quickly reappeared, carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and what appeared to be long-stemmed thorny roses. Except all the ends were missing. No flowers, just thorny stems. You want these in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched for the customer's response. Is this some kind of joke happening here? She waited for the laughter of the two women, but neither woman laughed. She said, Yeah, I'll take a box. You'd think if after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance. But I can tell you, I feel it right here all over again. She gently tapped her chest. I feel it right here. Sandra stammered, that lady just left with a box of thorny stems. There were no flowers. Clerk said, that's right. I cut the flowers off. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet. Oh, come on, Sandra said. You can't tell me somebody's willing to pay for that. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago feeling as much like you do today, explained the clerk. She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had just lost her father to cancer. The family business was failing and her son had gotten into drugs. And she was facing a major surgery. You see, that same year I had lost my husband, continued the clerk. And for the first time in my life, I had to spend the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby. Too much debt to allow any travel. And Sandra said, what did you do? She said, I learned to be thankful for the thorns. You see, I've always thanked God when things were good in my life, and I never questioned Him when those things were good, and everything was beautiful. But then when the bad stuff hit, I cried out, why? Why me? It took time for me to learn that the dark times are important to our faith. You see, I've always enjoyed the flowers of my life, but it took the thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort in my life. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from His isolation or consolation, we can learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the thought of her friend trying to tell her, God is growing and maturing you through this. She said, I guess the truth is, I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby and I'm angry with God. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life right now. It's too fresh. It's too familiar. It's too recent. Well, the clerk replied carefully, my experience has shown me that the thorns make the roses more precious. The thorns make the roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember when Jesus went to the cross? What He wore on His head? See, it was a crown of thorns. Jesus wore it so we might know His love for us. Don't resent the thorns. As tears rolled down Sandra's cheeks for the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on her resentment. She said, I'll tell you what. I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns. Take them as a gift from me this year, the clerk said. I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you'd like to read it first. It read, my God, I have never thanked You for the thorns in my life. I have thanked You 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to You along the path of pain. Show me that through my tears, the colors of Your rainbow look so much more brilliant. You see, church, we can easily give thanks for the beauty that God has given us. But our growth in His beauty is revealed in the thorns that we go through and we tolerate. Thorns are a necessary part of us growing. They're part of a beautiful flower. But without those, we can become so complacent and so set in our ways, and so unchallenged. Now, I know some are probably thinking, A little less thorns, a little less challenge right now. But in the midst of it, think of what Job went through. He didn't just roll over and take it. Say, okay, God, thy will be done. 40 chapters say he didn't say that. He challenged God. He questioned God. But then there was a point when God talked back to him and said, now, time to be a man, Job. Because I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to ask you questions. And you shall answer me. Likewise, we all have an appointed time that we're going to have to answer. It may not be those same questions, but we're going to have to answer for our life. We're going to have to answer for our integrity. Did we give up our integrity? Do you still hold fast to your integrity in times of trouble? And as a wise man said, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? I've said it multiple times before, in adversity in my own life, man, my wife and I grew closer together than we'd ever been. Now, I'm thankful she didn't say, you want to hold fast your integrity? I remember saying, I've lost my job. Do we still need to tie it to the church right now? She said, that's the first check we write every week. And it was. And I went, okay. You have to press on in faith. When these connected to those are beautiful, that's great. But when these are snipped off, do we still praise Him? Do we still give when our life looks like that? Do we still serve? Do we still attend when life looks like that? I love your answer. Thank you, Aiden. She said, yes. Yes, we do. And we shall. Church, let's pray for the endurance of Job as we prepare for Thanksgiving this week. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of Job, for the challenges that he faced. Lord, for the challenges he faced, but really how he responded to those challenges. Lord, I pray today that we recognize the thorns in our life, that we don't just accept a beautiful stem with a rose always on it, but we also accept the stem with just the thorns. Lord, we come to you this week giving you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving as we prepare to give thanks on Wednesday, our traditional day of Thanksgiving, that we reflect on your goodness, your provisions, and your mercy as we go through those. Help make us aware this week. In Jesus' name.